Vitayu, welcome to this week's feature presentation from Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Pavlina, producer and host of Nash Holos, which airs weekly on AM and FM radio in Vancouver and Nanaimo, British Columbia, and of course, online. You can find program information, broadcast times, and links to the live streams and podcasts at our website, www.nashholos.com. But now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this feature interview, which was recently broadcast on the show. From Vancouver, a political analyst and author of two novels, two spy thrillers set in Ukraine, and his name is Myron Petriu. We know him as Mirko, and his two books are called Yaroslav's Treasure and Yaroslav's Revenge. Mirko was also the president of the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress, BC Provincial Council, and has a hand in many things going on in the Ukrainian community in the Lower Mainland. We have had Mirko on our show many times in the Vancouver program, and he is joining us now here on our Nanaimo program. So, Vitayu, Mirko, welcome.
Thank you, Paulette.
Now, you've been keeping a very close eye on the developments in Ukraine. There are protests. Just for the benefit of listeners who are not familiar with what's going on, the protests are because the president is trying to take the country in a direction that most people don't want, and that is away from the European as opposed to for the European Union. And this is exactly why Ukrainians are protesting the streets. Is that pretty much sum it up, Mirko?
Yeah, that pretty well sums it up. In fact, President Yanukovych not only did not sign the association agreement with the EU, but has every intention of signing up with the customs union with Russia. So he's actually taking the exact opposite direction.
Now, there is this, if you listen to media reports in the West, they talk about this fabled, and I use this word deliberately, fabled East-West divide. And there are some that really are happy enough to go with the Russian Union, but the protests, really the popular protests, the populist, want to go to Europe. And we've got tens of thousands of protesters who are protesting to go to Europe, but yet you've got a few hundred paid protesters wanting to go to stay with Russia. And this is what I've been reading. What's your take on that, Mirko? Is that pretty much accurate as well?
That was reasonably accurate. In actual fact, the pro-European protesters are in the hundreds of thousands. Mm. The pro-Russian ones are a smaller number, although they're not likely to protest. What we are seeing, though, is staged events. And I know that the other day we talked about information wars.
Right.
And a lot of the staging is part of that information war. So not everything that you see is real.
So what do you mean? Can you give an example of what you mean by staged?
Well, a very fine example actually was shown on CBC, but wasn't really commented on. There was just basically a film clip, and this was on the 1st of December. There was a major demonstration going on, and then there was a bit of a sideshow. There was an assault on the president's building, in other words, the president's administration building, and that assault showed, believe it or not, a front-end loader, kind of a bulldozer, trying to attack a line of riot police who surprisingly did not have their shields with them.
okay.
And there was this major violent confrontation that, in fact, was staged. What happened is that the authorities, they pay thugs, professional thugs, professional demonstrators, if you wish, to pretend to be demonstrators and to stage as a fact. In actual fact, there is now film of busloads of these people being escorted by the riot police to their positions. And obviously, a bulldozer can't go through the streets of a city without attracting attention. And yet, surprise, surprise, this front-end loader suddenly appears in front of the president's administration. So the whole thing was staged as a provocation. So yeah, one has to be very careful when one is reporting on these events.
Now, there have been a lot of journalists that have been beaten up.
Yes, there have, and a lot of civilians. In fact, on the day that I'm talking about, which was the 1st of December, I think the count is well over 100 that were hospitalized.
Wow. So the journalists that are being beaten up, they're local. Are they foreign?
Foreign journalists have sustained injuries too. There was a photograph I saw of a Danish journalist with a head wound.
Now, the president has actually come out and denounced the violence.
He's denounced the violence. Actually, he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth, which is not very surprising. On his website, he has denounced the violence. In other places, he is supporting the police. And surprisingly enough, today he's in Beijing. So he's not even in Ukraine.
Wow. This is Nasholos Ukrainian Roots Radio on CHLY 101.7 FM. We're talking with Mirko Petrio, Vancouver author and political analyst on things Ukrainian. And we've just been talking about some of the protests, things going behind the scenes of the protests. And now, Mirko, you had said earlier something about information wars. What did you mean by information wars? Give us some examples.
Well, that is becoming a staple in modern warfare, whether it's military combat or other forms of warfare and subversion, and that is issuing misinformation, knocking down websites, usually referred to as DDoS attacks. And as I mentioned the other day, a fine example of that would have been the 2008 war between Georgia and Russia, where days prior to the war, various websites were knocked down, specifically the website for the Georgian government. And this is happening in Ukraine right now, or was happening. Several sites went down. Even prior to all this, false sites were set up. There's a Ukrainian newspaper called Ukrainska Pravda, which is an online newspaper. Well, surprisingly, a paper version showed up, and of course, it was a total falsification. There isn't any paper version of this newspaper, but a paper version was being handed out, basically as misinformation and as a provocation.
So this is propaganda wars.
Oh, very much propaganda wars. Exactly what it is.
You mentioned DDoS attacks, and this is not something that is new, of course. This has been going on for ever since the internet happened, right? And mm-hmm. Ukrainians discovered that they could counteract the propaganda and also connect with each other and build, start to network, exchange information. And that is what led to the 2004 Orange Revolution.
Very much so.
Now, can you do a comparison? What is the difference between, there are the similarities are it's still Viktor Yanukovych that the people are protesting against.
And strangely enough, yes.
Yeah, that's 9 years later. They're still protesting against corruption. They're still wanting to join the European Union. But those are the similarities. But there are a lot of differences.
Yes, there are. Just for background, in 2004, the Orange Revolution was happened as a result of falsified election results. These are presidential election results. And to make a long story short, it resulted in a third round of presidential elections. which were relatively clean and ended up with the presidency of Viktor Yushchenko. Now, Yanukovych was the loser in that particular case. On the other hand, that particular revolution, as was called, which was surprisingly peaceful, nobody got killed, very minimum number of injuries, darn close to zero. It had been prepared months, if not a year, ahead of time. There was an NGO organization called PORA, which were young people that were willing to stand up against falsified elections. They were trained by the Einstein Institute in the U.S. and is it trained how to handle a large crowd demonstration and how to oppose riot police without resorting to violence and without allowing violent acts to actually occur. So there's a whole science to that. So this was very well prepared in 2004. This year, we have a situation where the crowd and the demonstrators really weren't prepared for the turn of events. What we had was in many ways what I called the perfect storm. On November 23rd, Ukrainians all around the world commemorate the Holodomor, which was the genocide of 1932-33, genocide by famine. The next day, there was scheduled a demonstration in support of the European Union or the association agreement. And when it was scheduled, it was expected that association agreement would be being signed. So it was a demonstration in support, not demonstration against anything. Of course, in the last minute, Yanukovych and his government make a U-turn, do not say that they were not going to sign, and they did not sign the association agreement with the European Union, and in fact decided that they will be trying to join the customs union with Russia. Well, so this demonstration, which was very much a groundswell type of event, and wasn't designed or organized in a manner that as a confrontational demonstration, suddenly does become a confrontational demonstration. So that lack of organization was definitely visible. It was visible early morning of December 1st, 4 in the morning, when the police attacked. And that was something that really wouldn't have happened had everything been organized properly. But the police attack resulted in dozens and dozens of injured and hospitalized.
Now, so the difference is in 2004 they had some advance warning and planning. It was election time. Now, there are no elections here. This was just Yanukovych is in the middle of his term, and it was just a policy that he was trying to agreements he was trying to sign in the course of his business. And so this is organic protest.
Oh, very much groundswell and organic. Which is actually was part of the problem. Now, it has now morphed into a more political and more organized action. But certainly at the very beginning, it was apolitical, very much apolitical. In fact, opposition parties and candidates were discouraged from taking part in the demonstration. That's no longer the case, by the way. So these things changed literally from one day to another. Mm-hmm. But certainly initially it was just a groundswell demonstration, and it has suffered as a result. So that's why the change in tactic.
Now the location of the protest right now is Kyiv.
Right now, it is Kyiv and a lot of major cities in Ukraine.
Okay, so it is spreading.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay.
Now the big numbers are in Kyiv and in fact people are taking a bus or taking trains and going to Kyiv. So those crowds had swollen, and by some estimates were on the order of 600,000.
Wow, yeah. Well, I'm going to let you go, and we'll bring you back a little bit later on in our broadcast, hopefully, if that's possible. But I did want to mention I do want to find out if it's spreading, because we've got people in Lviv who actually contribute to our program, part of the Ukrainian Jewish Heritage feature. And Volodya, who is the project manager, was the one that had alerted me quite early on. He really said, you have to watch this. And he was quite troubled. He is in Lviv. That team is in Lviv. So we're going to hear from them shortly after. We're just going to play a Ukrainian Jewish Heritage feature with Renata Hananets, and we will hear from her project manager, Volodya, after it's over. So thank you very much, Mirko, and we will talk to you again soon.
So I'll be by the phone. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mirko.
Bye-bye.
And we were speaking with Mirko Petriu, author and political analyst from Vancouver. I hope you enjoyed this week's feature interview from Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In addition to interviews such as the one you just heard, Nash Holos is host to many other outstanding features produced by people who love to share their love of Ukrainian culture with non-Ukrainian speakers. From Ukrainian recipes and cooking tips, to reviews of English language books on Ukrainian themes, views on Ukrainian politics and current affairs, culture, folklore, and of course great Ukrainian music, traditional and contemporary, by artists from Ukraine, Canada, and around the world. So join me, Pavlina, and my fascinating guests on the weekly radio broadcasts in Vancouver and Nanaimo. You can listen to the live broadcast on air or online, or download the podcast and listen later in your own good time. You'll find program information, broadcast details, and podcast links at www.nashholos.com. So until next time, dopa bachinya.